السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وحضرت مهندس پٹیل صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ, he had mentioned once whilst taking a walk through Mitchell Park. So in those days, on a Sunday morning, after Fajr, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to have his majlis, and then he used to go to Mitchell Park and just take a walk there. It was early, nobody used to be there. You take a walk, and sometimes used to read Ishraq there. Otherwise, there was this Wauda people that were living across the road there. To go by their house, read Ishraq there, and then everybody will either go back to the masjid or go away home. So one morning, breathing in the fresh air after Fajr, we found the pathway covered with flowers which had fallen off the trees. I mentioned to my friends, at one time these flowers were on the trees. They were admired. People enjoyed and appreciated their fragrance. They would say, how beautiful, how sweet, how charming. However, when the breeze touched these flowers, they left the branches of the trees. They fell onto the ground. Now we find that the same people who once admired and enjoyed the pretty flowers, they trample over them as they take their walks. Walking now on top of these flowers. These pretty, colorful and fragrant flowers have become a carpet on the ground and are crushed underfoot. As if the visitors to the park are squashing the little hearts of the flowers. Soon the garden service will sweep the flowers away and they will be thrown into some bin. Thereafter, the bin bags will be disposed of at some dump, taken in, thrown away. I then explained to my friends that once upon a time, Muslims were like the flowers on the trees. The fragrance of their iman, their Islam, their pleasant character, honest speech, charming etiquette, all this was admired and appreciated by all. Their adherence to the commandments of Allah Ta'ala and to the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, their sincerity, khidmat to mankind, emitted such beautiful fragrance which even non-Muslims benefited from. You're feeling cold, I'm gonna put the aircon off. Okay. Put it off. Why are you leaving on and feeling cold? So now, their sincerity, khidmat to mankind, etc., it emitted such beautiful fragrance, which even the non-Muslims benefited from it. The beautiful colors of their ibadat, of how they conducted their business transactions, their social interactions, were the means of not only people changing their faith, meaning people accepted Islam when they dealt with Muslim people, they accepted Islam, but also changing their culture and language. As we find in the time of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, wherever the Sahaba radiallahu anhum traveled in the world, they had an undeniable influence on the different nations. When the Muslims were flowers on the tree, people inhaled their fragrance and accepted Islam. If we look at North Africa, most of those countries, the majority of the people speak Arabic. How did they learn Arabic? And Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum came to those places. they change the whole culture, change the language also. Today also Muslims are going everywhere. But when we go there, we change. We change. So many families, the women folk were in parda. Now they went away to another country. The women took out their pardas. The men took out their sunnat libas, etc. So we get affected by what's happening there. Whereas Sahaba, they had such noor of iman that when they went, that noor shone and put off the darkness in those places. When the breeze of temptation and sin blew, then as we find today, many Muslims left the tree. They separated themselves from the strong, sturdy trunk of correct aqaid, and they lost the attachment they had to the branches of ibadat, salah, zakat, sawm, tilawah, etc. They adopted the cultures and customs of others, and in turn, they lost their fragrance, they lost their colors as they withered away. Having fallen onto the ground, the Muslim Ummah globally is literally being crushed underfoot by the enemies of Islam, or devoured like a hearty meal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned that the people will soon summon one another to attack you, as people when eating invite others to share the food. Someone asked, will that be because of our small numbers at that time, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, no, you will be numerous at that time. But you will be froth and scum like that carried down by a torrent of water. And Allah will take the fear of you from the hearts of your enemy and cast wahan in your hearts. In other words, the enemy won't fear you anymore. That rob won't be there. And in your hearts, there'll be wahan. Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, they asked that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is this wahan? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, love of the dunya. Love of the dunya and dislike of death. Hubbun dunya wa karahiyatul maut. You start to love the world and you will dislike death. So in this hubbud dunya that has brought about our downfall and defeat, it is a cause of destruction to one's deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by Allah, I do not fear poverty for you, but I fear that the world would be abundant for you as it has been for those before you. So you compete for it as they have competed for it, and it destroys you as it had destroyed them. So sometimes, when we hear these kind of things, hubbud dunya wa karahiyatul maut, and you compete for the world and it will destroy you like it destroyed them, etc., then our fickle minds go towards the wealthy people. Go towards the wealthy people. See, these people, yeah, they are caught up in this thing. Hubbud dunya and possession of dunya is two different things. Hubbud dunya, to love the world, and possessing the world is two different things. A person can have the things of the world, but he got no love for it. And another person, he hardly got anything, but he's so attached to it that he can fight for it. He can fight for it. One small thing goes wrong in that thing, he's prepared to fight. Right? And another person, I know one brother, I think he put the fan on. The mosquitoes will finish up. Put the fan on and the mosquitoes can't fly to me. So, one person, he had purchased a new vehicle, you know, brand new car, expensive vehicle, one of the top, you know, top names. I don't want to say the names, then I'm advertising for them. No advertising for them. A German saloon, you know. German saloon. I'll stop there. So, brand new car, and the Ijtima was coming up. So, he took few brothers and they went for the Ijtima. Went for the Ijtima, and it so happened that a lot of rain, so that place was got muddy, and so his vehicle got stuck there and now spinning tires to come out and whatever. So the car got scraped on one side. Got scratched, scraped. So the brothers who were traveling with him, they were feeling so bad, like, now this man, brand new car now, car was scraped. So they telling him, like, you know, maaf, like, you know. They maaf for what? This is a piece of metal. Allah Pak gave to use it. If it got scraped in Allah's part. Usme kya? So he got the smart car, but it's not in the heart. It's not in the heart. So you can't look at people and judge, oh, he got love for the world. How we figure out if we got love for the world? Some world of mine went missing. Some world of mine went missing. Now I'm so upset. I can fight with somebody, cause a big tamasha, big problem. Why? Why didn't I just say, I jaane do, he went, inshallah, forget about it. To acquire that world and to spend that world, I am now breaking the commands of Allah Ta'ala. I'm in my shop, azan is going, I'm continuing with my business. I'm in my shop, I'm taking services from people, I'm not paying them their dues. I'm selling doubtful things. Sometime Allah Ta'ala blesses a person, right? With so much, Allah Pak gives a person so much. Now he got a huge shop. Maybe a person got like a hyper store now. Right? Like a hyper store. How many commodities in that store? And he's doing a lot of business. But now the companies, because now you're a hyper store now you're keeping all the big brands, all the, now they tell you, no, see, you have to keep TVs also. You have to stock the TV. We've got big range of TVs. Now the person, he dedicates a whole section of his business for these huge, huge TVs. And whole time the TV is on. Whole time the TV is on in the shop. Now, what is a person short of? One is now, say you got one real battling person, right? He can't make ends meet, you got no money for rent, lights, water, nothing. Right? And now he met one supplier, the fellow told him, see, I got 10 TVs. If you sell it, you know, I can give it to you on, what they call it, on tick. You go and sell it, and then you can make a profit on it. So if a person like that went to do something, he's still wrong. But we say, no, out of desperation, bichara now he went. But on the other hand, person is short of absolutely nothing. He's got maybe 1,000 commodities inside the shop. What's the need to go bring that thing inside there? For what? This is love for the world. Love for the world. I just give you one example, TV, right? We'll complain, that our children are becoming addicts and this is becoming this and that. Now we start selling the hookah in our shop. Are we not putting them in that line? We got so much else to sell. Yeah, from a fatwa point of view, the Mufti may say it's not haram, this, that, whatever. That's a separate issue. Ethically, do you want your child to smoke that thing? Then why are you selling it? You get a person in the clothing, person is in the clothing business, right? The type of clothing he's selling, will he want his daughter to wear? Total behaya clothing, right? But he's selling it, because he can make money with it. He's not worried that, is this right for me as a Muslim to sell something like this? And sometimes the person can be a Sufi sahab, Tablighi sahab, Maulvi sahab, all the sahabs. But the samp of love for the dunya is there. Samp is a snake. So that love for the dunya that is there. Sometimes you get a person, extremely wealthy person, but he got no care for the world. Allah Ta'ala is giving him so much. Allah Ta'ala is giving him. He gives to so much. Allah gives him to so much. He gives to so much. There's no love for the world. He doesn't have love for the world. He watches how he's earning namaz time to time. Zakat, he's working it out properly. Everything is sorting things out. His staff members, his children, he's putting them in the line of deen. Sometimes you get a businessman. Businessman, outwardly you say this person now is a dunya dar, right? Whole day is in the shop. But he's putting his children in the line of deen. And then you get the Moli sahab, he's supposed to be the monana, he's putting his children in the line of dunya. So who got love for dunya? So you can't judge. We are not here to judge. We must just be critical of ourselves. We must check ourselves, be critical of ourselves. That where am I? I must check up myself. Do I have this love of the world? I must check my situation. Our Hazrat Mu'izz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he always mentioned this. To drive a smart car, to live in a comfortable house, to wear decent clothing, look neat and tidy, that's not dunya. That's not dunya. Money, if you got a lot money, no problem. Long as its place is in the pocket, not in the heart. The place for the money is not in the heart, it's in the pocket. When it needs to spend, it can spend, no problem. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, he mentions so beautifully that you need water for the ship to sail. You need water for the ship to sail. But the water must stay under the ship. The water mustn't come inside the ship. So like that, we have to go through this world. We have to go through this world. Right? So the dunya must stay in the pocket. It mustn't come, mustn't find its place in the heart. Mustn't find its place in the heart. Must stay in the pocket. So presently the ummah is beset by difficulties and tribulations. In whichever direction we turn, we find a picture to grieve over. So many spend their lives in absolute heedlessness, intoxicated by the love of this world. Sins have become a leisure activity and pursuit. Life passes in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. It seems as if the akhirat and accountability have become a forgotten reality. It's far away now. We're not even thinking about all of that. Where once the lives of Muslims were beautiful invitations for others to accept Islam, today the non-Muslims do not see any real difference between their lives and our lives. They don't see any difference. they screaming, shouting, swearing and running with choppers in the street, we doing the same thing. They robbing, we too robbing. They vulgar, we too vulgar. So, what's there to see that no, this is a mu'min? Always remember, it's very easy to be good when everything is going good. When you went home, your wife is pretty, dressed up, she finished have a bath, house is clean, children are all cleaned up, everything is in its place, right? Food is ready, right? Then it's very easy to be good, isn't it? Very easy to be good now. You came home, everything is fine. So now you come, assalamu alaikum, you're smiling, everything. That smile is not for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That smile is for myself. Because everything is nice. Now I came home, house is untidy, she is busy with something else. I'm in a hurry, I have to go for gush, or I have to go for program, food is not ready. Now that time now to enter and smile, that smile would have been for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. But now, that time is no smile. No? Now there's jagra now. Or at the least, pulled up face. Allah forgive us. We be guilty of these things. Guilty of these things. So that time is the test. Not when everything is going according to plan. Everything is going according to plan, that's very easy to carry on thanking Allah Ta'ala and having a cheerful countenance and husnul khuluq and everything is fine. No. The thing is when the things are going topsy-turvy, upside down, now, at that time, to be able to maintain, child is not well, other one got diarrhea, this one got something else, she is upset. Now, that time, had a bad day in the shop too, and then on top of it at home now, compounded. Now to still maintain that akhlaq and everything and that time. That is a test. Allah give us tawfiq. No, we weak. We must keep trying. Keep trying. We falter. Don't feel hard to ask for maaf. To err is human. Err is human. We'll falter. We'll make a mistake. Ask for maaf. And then next time, no, I must try. I must be better now. When I'm entering the house, conscientize myself. Look, I'm not going to get upset. Even if there's a tornado happening inside here, I'm not going to get upset. Some of our akabirin, they advise, say, don't have hopes. Imam Abdul Haq Maghdasa, he always mentions this. Say, don't have any hopes. Don't have this in your head that when I go home, the food is going to be ready. When I go home, that's going to be like this. This is going to be sorted out. That's going to, no. Don't have hopes. If you don't have any hopes, then you can't get disappointed. The problem is when you got hopes. You got hopes on insan. But remember, insan is subjected to a lot of things. Circumstances, consequences, health. A lot of things can happen. So, insan can't be perfect all the time. So, the husband needs to understand that, the wife needs to understand that, children need to understand that, parents need to understand, employee, employer, everybody in interactions, we have to understand this. That things will go this way, that way. You got to be tolerant, right? Be overlooking. That's the only way to carry on. So these people, when they observe us now, they don't see any difference we have adopted their dress, their culture, their lifestyle. We stand at the door of Islam to keep the people out. Or we're pushing them away with our poor character, our poor dealings. So many more from amongst our precious youth cannot even be identified as the blossoming flowers of the Ummah. Can't even make them out. They have preferred to mix with sand and mud, and in so doing have lost their fragrance and color. The Hollywood, Bollywood culture, with all its immorality and vice, is that mud. More aptly, it is quicksand that traps our young Muslim sons and daughters. And then we have the picture of the burdensome yoke of injustice, oppression and suppression. The lives of Muslims have become so cheap that thousands are swept into mass graves, where genocide has become a play and a pastime for the enemies of Islam. We have the destruction of Muslim homes, imprisonment and persecution of Muslim men, the deliberate killing of Muslim children, the rape of Muslim women, the theft of Muslim land, oppression compounded. When we turn away from this sad, heart-wrenching sight, we see another picture to cry over. Many, many Muslims in positions of authority and rule are like puppets. Their strings are pulled by non-Muslim governments. Some are treated like animals. They are broken in or trained to listen and obey, as we find with some Muslim governments. This brings more loss and more misery. This is our reality. From where to where? From what to what? But there is no despairing. Rather, there is a lot of hope once we return to the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All that is required is to plant the seeds of taqwa, and those beautiful, fragrant, colorful flowers will once more bloom and blossom. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding and concern and the tawfiq of sincere tawbah and practice on the beautiful teachings of Deen. Imagine now, that is what is meant, right? I must move everybody else from my sight, and wherever I look, I must see only you. Now you're taking a stroll in a park, Sunday morning, and there's flowers on the floor, and that becomes a whole majlis with how many lessons. This is the gaze of the Ahlullah. We just look at life just, you know, on the surface of things. They look at things very, very differently. Everything they look at is an insight. Allah Ta'ala gives them an insight. Simple, simple things, they can give us such profound lessons. Allah Ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, grant the entire Ummah tawfiq. Tomorrow night is the 27th night, and as we mentioned, with some Sahaba radiallahu anhum, also other pious predecessors, many of them, they have said that Laylatul Qadr is on the 27th night. So this is why many people pin their hopes on the 27th. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to exert ourselves. Again, Allah first give us life to even witness. So many times you met a person, next thing you meet somebody else, tell you that person passed away. I just met him. I just met him yesterday. Heart attack passed away, shooting passed away, accident passed away. We don't even know if we live to see it. And we make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah give us opportunity. So tonight is an even night. make a little bit ibadat, some dua, try and get some rest also. Allah Ta'ala mentions that He has made the night for sleep. You know? The night is for sleep, the night is for rest. No matter how much you sleep during the day, you don't get that rest that you get at night. The night is for rest. Now when a person, he sacrifices the sleep, and he's sacrificing it for Allah Ta'ala, how happy Allah Ta'ala becomes. So tonight is an even night, try to get some rest also, make a little bit of ibadat also, wake up, eat some tahajjud, etc. But get some rest also, with this niyat, Ya Allah, I'm preparing myself for tomorrow night. Tomorrow night I'm going to exert myself even more. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inna kunna min al-zalimin. La ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruk نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله.